Good evening. And tonight we're going to speak about preparation for shiduchim, for marriage. And of course it's an opportunity for you to ask a lot of questions, because I'm sure you have questions that you're not sure about their answers. Now it's an opportunity to get, Bezrat Hashem, your answers. Right now in your life, in this kind of situation right now, which you probably will begin to date, or beginning already to date soon, there's a lot of dilemmas. First of all, how to do it the right way. And it also depends who you're asking. Because sometimes you ask one person, it will give you one advice, and one will give you the other advice. So the question is, what is the real opinion of the Torah, how to do it when it comes to Shiduchim? First thing that we find today, there's basically a few different kind of girls. There's girls who want someone who is Ben Torah, which means he sits and learns all day. And that's how they were trained since they're young, by their parents, by their teachers, that the ultimate shiduch is to find someone who's amel b'Torah, is learning seriously, Baruch Hashem, steigen, non-stop. And of course, we want a good family, everything else around it, good midos. And then if it's fine, everything else worked out, then she goes for the shiduch. But there's a few problems with that. Then we'll talk about girls that want someone who works, or someone who works and learn, different kinds of requirements. But another option here right now is for those girls that only want someone who learns and they are ready to be working and supporting the homes. This is how they've been trained for the last few years since they started to prepare them for the day. The question is, are they prepared well enough to the mission? That's the question. Why? We find that today, when girls go on a shiduch, that she said to the shadchanim, she said, I want someone who only learns. And they asked her, are you going to support? Yeah, of course. I'm going to work. I will support. Everything sounds beautiful. Then when it comes to reality, after a few months of the marriage, they have serious crisis in the house. Why? Because she didn't think it's going to be that difficult. When she begins to understand how difficult it is, then the problems begin. Then they come for Shalom Bayit issues, and the rabbi, you know, he hears what they have to say. And she has a very good point. She works very hard. She doesn't have a life. It's not enough for the bills. So she needs him to help her to support the home. But then he said there wasn't a deal. The deal was that I will not be interrupted with my learning. So what, I'm gonna start leaving yeshiva now, leaving kollel, and go to work, it's gonna mess up my life. And from here, chas v'shalom, the situation of the marriage can drop tremendously. So the first thing is, it's beautiful to describe the world as an ideal place, as a situation of the marriage, ideal, and then when people come into that expecting everything to work smooth, it's not always so smooth. We are not talking here when the families are wealthy, Baruch Hashem, and they can afford to support him for 5 years, whatever the deals they make. Okay, that's a different story. So there is a help here. So between what she works, between what the parents help, they can survive. We are not talking ordinary people who cannot support, or they have too many girls, they cannot pay every chassan X amount of money for 5 years, multiply by 5, 6, 7. So not always possible. Sometimes they can do it for the first and the second, and that's it. The rest they cannot support. So we're having a problem here. She thinks it's going to be a piece of cake, it's going to be beautiful. I have a steigen husband, he comes from kollel, everything fine. In reality, she is collapsing mentally, physically. It's very difficult. So the idea is that the girls will understand that just to say beautiful words, it's not always matching reality, because reality sometimes is different. So first of all, they have to be very realistic. When she dates a guy, one of the most important thing to measure is the financial situation of the future marriage. What am I going to work in? Of course, we are ma'aminim bnei ma'aminim. We have emuna. We believe that Hashem supports us, Hashem feeds us, Hashem feeds everything, the entire world. We know all this. We learn about it. We know that's the way it is, but we at the same time have to be realistic that Hashem is giving us sometimes very, very difficult nisyones. And we find very big tzaddikim that don't have parnasa. It's reality, you cannot deny it. So in that case, how strong are you mentally? Are you really capable of working and doing so many things and living in almost poverty or real poverty? How long are you going to be able to survive? All these things must be discussed. Second thing, when you go on a shidduch, or before you go on a shidduch, I should say, you have to know one thing. There's a question right now in life. When they offer you, when they're about to offer you a bachur, there's always this question that always rises. What comes first, a Talmid Chacham or a Baal Midos? Of course, it's great to have both. Talmid Chacham, they have wonderful Midos, and you like everything about him. Beautiful, family is perfect, his look is perfect, his wisdom is perfect, everything about him is perfect. No, Baruch Hashem, Hashem was very kind to you. But we are trying to be realistic right now. It's very difficult to find perfect people, very difficult. It's difficult to find perfect people, and if you have expectation to find perfect Bachur, the more the expectation, the more high the expectation, the bigger the disappointment will be. If you develop high expectation from him, it's most likely that at least one or two things by him will make you very disappointed, and chas v'shalom will make the entire marriage bitter. Why? Because you climb to such a high mountain, and all of a sudden, it's not exactly like what you were told in a shidduchim or by his rosh yeshiva. So I want to wake you up a little bit. First thing you have to know, that the most important thing when you ask for a bachur in shidduchim, you have to insist that it's going to be someone with good midos. Before you're talking about the Talmid Chacham, it's very, very, very important for the safety of the marriage to have a person that has good midot. What does it mean, good midot? Let's go briefly. What does it mean? Of course, we can talk about it a week, but we have limited amount of time, so we will try to cover it briefly. By the way, as you can see, I brought you a lot of CDs. They're all free. You can take for your friends. Feel free to take. And almost every one of the CDs, there are lecture that is related to our topic, either finding a soulmate, shidduchim, and how to be in a healthy marriage, how to be happily married, things that applies to you, and all other kinds of topics. Please take advantage and take CDs. That's off the record. Now, going back to what I started, what does it mean, a bachur that have good midos? So the first thing you check by a person is the most important critical things, that it's almost yahareg velo yaavor, that without it there's nothing even to talk about. Of course, don't expect to find a person that is perfect in midot. If he was perfect in midos, Hashem would not keep him in this world. He would finish his work here. He would finish his tikkun. Because the Gaon Mivilna says, tikkun ha-midot ze kol ha-adam. Correcting the midos, this is what we are here for. Laziness, anger, generosity, all kinds of things that we all have challenges with. If we corrected everything, we don't have any more yetzer hara, not for laziness, not for honesty, we're very generous, we're very hardworking, we have integrity, we never get angry, we're always full of care of chesed, everything by us is perfect, we finish our tikkun. Hashem take the soul and send it to heaven. The soul has nothing to do here. Unless if you're a very big rabbi, that Hashem leaves you here for X amount of years to help the generation, even if you finish your tikkun. But none of us is in this situation, so let's speak about things that relate to us. So the first thing you want to check by the person is, the first few things is, number one, honesty. You want an honest human being, not a deceiver, not a liar, not a hypocrite, not a person who pretends. Everything by him is show off. It's all for him. He thinks that he's an actor on a stage, and he pretends that he's something that he's not. Because later on, a month or two later, you find out who he is. That's going to be a massive disappointment. So you have to investigate very carefully that this person, like Chazal say, tocho kevaro. What he's pretending to be is really is. Why? Because many people pretend one thing, and in reality, they are completely the opposite of what they are. For instance, I know people that pretend that they're generous. They pretend that they give and they give and they do and they donate. In reality, if you really investigate, you find out first that they hardly give anything. And if they finally give, it's not from them. It's someone that gave them money and they give with their name. They steal the credit. But in reality, they're very stingy. They pretend they are, but in reality, they're not what they present themselves. This is one example. So one more very important thing, you don't want a bachur that is ka'asan, means angry. Now, of course, when you go on a shiduchim, after two, three, four times that you dated, it will be very difficult to find that this person is angry. Because he will hold himself very much not to get angry for something you said or for something that happened or in a place where you're sitting, something happened or the waiter doesn't bring the food or whatever the case is. And all of a sudden, he will hide what he is. But then in 2, 3, 4 months, then you will see that this person doesn't have patience for anything. Every little thing that doesn't work according to his wish, right away becomes like a machine gun. He begins to speak, to get angry, to raise his voice, to move, to act crazy. And there's plenty of guys out there, very beautiful black hat they have, and they came from very good yeshivot, but they're extremely angry. And they're very not polite and very not pleasant to be around. You're going to be very careful. Again, because they're going to push to you, it's great, it's steiging, it's learning. But they won't tell you that the Gemara said, Talmid Chacham, Shemidotav Ra'ot, Nevela Srucha Bashuk Tova Mimeno. A Talmid Chacham, Talmid Chacham in a generation of the Gemara, 2,000 years ago, was like the chief rabbi of Israel multiplied by 1,000. That's what it means in their time, Talmid Chacham, not what we call Talmid Chacham. So if the Gemara comes and say, Talmid Chacham shemidotav ra'ot, nevela srucha bashuk tova mimeno, means a dead rat in a street is better than him, which means he knows all the Torah by heart, he knows all the Gemara by heart, he knows all the Shulchan Aruch by heart, and what happened in the end? He behaved like a monster, which means a dead rat on the street, it's better than him. Why they use the example of a dead rat or a dead animal? Because when an animal dies, after a few minutes, it begins to smell. And the more time's passing by, the smell becomes stronger, which means it makes everyone around it run away. That's what it means, someone that has bad midot. Nobody wants to be near him. No one wants to affiliate with him. No one wants to be a partner with him. And even his wife and his children cannot stand him. The Gemara say, Man deyahir, someone that is arrogant, even anshei beto, even the people of his home, which means his wife, and his children cannot stand him. Of course, they pretend next to the guest that everything is fine, but in reality, they're very bitter from him. They're suffering, they're disappointed, and obviously, that's not a healthy marriage, and it's not a healthy situation. So, man deyahir afilu al anshei beto eino mitkabel, that the people of his home cannot accept him. So here you go, an example, that a person can think that he got the biggest chacham, he's giving beautiful speeches in yeshiva, he's learning 16, 17 hours a day, and in reality, your life with him will be worse than any torture you can imagine. That's why please do not be blind by all kinds of shatchanim who describe him like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, because what was great about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, besides the fact that he knew all the Torah by heart, that he was a very highly decent human being, which means his midot was perfect. He was humble, he was down to earth, he did not have ego, pride, arrogance, stinginess, laziness, none of these things. If you get lucky enough, Bezrat Hashem, so you find a guy that has great midot. Now remember, I'm not saying that you're going to find a perfect guy. There's always going to be incidents. And you also have to be realistic. You cannot expect to get a machine here. We are not machines, we have Yetzirah. But there is ways to check and to investigate very well that you get someone with good midot. Better to get someone that is an average learner, meaning is not a brilliant genius, Talmid Chacham, he's average, nothing special, like everyone else, like ordinary learners, but he's a great person, no one has a bad word to say about him, he's not full of ego, and he's very nice and has patience. This is exactly what you want. You don't want someone that will put you down, will look at you from all the way on the top of the mountain, because life will be horrible. Remember, marriage, there are three statuses in life, three statuses. There is a single human being, boy or girl. There is happily married, and there is bitterly married, which means it's horrible marriage. Which one of the three is the worst? What do you think? If you ask the single guys and girls, especially when their shidduch is delayed, so they will tell you the worst is to be single. You don't know what, how horrible it is. All my friends are married already. Every week I'm going to a different marriage, and by me nothing is happening. There's barely any offers. Nothing is working. It's horrible. This is from birth. Balei tshuva can be even worse, because they used to make averos and sins, and now they stop. And it's like someone was addicted to all kinds of materialistic things, and now you took it away from him. The suffering is even more than someone who never went and lived this kind of horrible lifestyle. People who got used to X amount of way, that to make X amount of averos in their life, without going into details, and one day they became real balei tshuva. The longer it takes them to get married, the longer and higher the suffering is. But regardless, even someone who's not used to make averos, very kosher guy or girl, they come from very kosher, decent, modest family, it's very difficult to be single. Everybody understands that. Even for non-Jews, it's difficult. And the Gemara in Masechet Kiddushin says for the girls, it's even harder than for the guy. Even though it's not so sure that today it's the case with what's happening today in the world, but the Gemara said that a woman would be willing to compromise a lot as long as she's not going to stay single. Which means that the guys will not be able to compromise just as much. This is the word of the Gemara. Tav lemetav tandu midelemetav armelu. That's the words of the Gemara in Aramaic. Better to be with someone, anyone, than to be alone. I'm not so sure that's the case today, because women today is not what they used to be 2,000 years ago. For instance, the Gemara say, when you want to marry a girl, you have to check her brothers. Make sure the brothers are real Bnei Torah, with good midos. If they are, it's an indication that the girl is good. What is the connection between the girl and the brother? Do you know how many great girls today, they came from very good education, they're extremely modest and smart, and fantastic shidduch, and they have a brother off the derech, a real bum. So now if you check the brother, I don't want to hear about this girl. And then when you see the girl, you say, cannot be that this nice girl is the brother of this, the sister of this monster. Cannot be. So the answer is, based on this Gemara, this girl would stay single because she has one or two brothers like this. Today, Baruch Hashem, it's not the case. Why the Gemara spoke about this 2,000 years ago? The answer is, because until a generation or two, women did not go to yeshiva. Today, it's mandatory. Every girl goes to school, elementary school, high school, sometimes seminary. She goes, she gets education. Some of the girls today know more Torah than the guys. However, In the previous generations, girls did not go to get any education in Europe, in the Arab countries, no matter where the Jews live. Girls were in the house since they are 9, 10, 11, 12. They used to help in the house. They help with the chickens, they help with the roosters, they help with the donkeys, they help with the horses. They used to get water from the well. They used to help to raise the children. They used to work in a farm. They used to do things. They used to cook, they used to do laundry, they used to knit. They used to help, either if the family had a business, so they work with the father right away since young age, or they help in the house, or they help with the raising the children. And all the Torah education that they got came from their brothers. The brothers come home from yeshiva, they sit and learn. So she hears Torah in the house. So whatever she knows comes from the brothers. Now if the brothers are Talmidei Chachamim, they come home and they learn, then she heard a lot of Torah. Oh, that's a great girl. Check her brothers. If they're serious Bnei Torah, you are in a good hand. And if the brothers were working, doing nothing, working in the farm, farmers, they don't get yeshiva education. They come home, what do they talk about? They talk about the donkey, they talk about the seeds, they talk about the oranges that they sold today. They talk a little bit about business. Today it's sports. In the old days it was different things, but no Torah in the house. Since there's no Torah in the house, the girl is a complete ignorant girl. She doesn't know anything from her life, and therefore stay away from her. But today, as I explained to you, girls go and get good education, and sometimes the education of the girls is much better than the education of the boys. Therefore, it's nothing to do with her brothers. If she has even one good brother, it's enough. She doesn't need all of them to be Rav Eliashiv. You know, it's good. It's enough that she has somebody good in her family. That shows that Chas v'Shalom, there's no like a curse on the family. If there's 12, 13, and they're all off the derech, lo aleinu, that's already not such a good sign. It's not realistic here. But if some good, some not so good, that's normal. That's the way the world is. And the girl can be fantastic, and you don't turn down the shidduch. Same thing with the guys. When you have a guy, there's only one difference, that you have to check who he is, because he's not going to learn from his sisters or from his brother. Therefore, you want to know that this person is a Ben Torah. Now, how do you know when you date a bachur if he's a real Ben Torah? How do you really know?
Ask his friend.
That's a good thing, but they not always tell you the truth, because, you know, he already prepared them, he wrote the references, he tell the references, I put you as a reference. Not everyone knows that when it comes to shidduchim, you must say the truth. Some people are afraid to say the truth because they don't want the responsibility of ruining the shidduch for their friend. Therefore, you know, they will make it a little bit prettier than what it is. You know, plus, the word Ben Torah can be described differently by 100 different people. Each one will describe it differently. One person will tell you Ben Torah means a real, real serious Talmid Chacham that kill himself on the Torah. The other person, for him, Ben Torah means someone who goes to yeshiva. He stand outside, he smoke, he goes to the coffee machine, he's half of the day on the phone. Doesn't matter, as long as he's in yeshiva, he's not a worker. He's not Chas v'Shalom going to work. He's in yeshiva. Oh, that's a Ben Torah. But reality is far away from being Ben Torah. What is he? It's the last thing you want to consider. But that's regardless of that, this is what I'm telling you. So therefore, you have to see what the person is talking about. Because the person presents himself, when he talks about what he liked the most. So sometimes you go on a shidduch, and the bachur will speak about his family business a lot. My father, we're in real estate, we buy, we do this, we're gonna do this, all kinds of things. Half of the date was about his family and the business and this. Then you know that his mind is in this world, he's not in Torah. His mind is in this world. He wants business, he wants wealth, that's what he cares about, nothing else. If you come to a bachur and the entire pgisha, besides speaking about your mutual future, he speaks lots of Torah. he speaks about certain things. He speaks about the way he grew up in yeshivot, about his rabbis, about maybe his father is a rabbi. So he's speaking about things like this. And you know where his mind is. Just like with the secular people, not all the same. One secular person, all he just speaks about is sport. Sport, sport, that's his life. So you know, that's what the most important thing in his life. You marry him, your life will be around this nonsense called sport. But not every secular is like this. Another secular person, he doesn't like sport. So his mind is into cars, into all kinds of other things. So that's all he talks about. There's a new car came out, I want, that's my dream, this. Then you know where his mind is. If a person speaks about Gemara, about Musar, about Ashkafa, about things in life, you see that he has Baruch Hashem a head on his shoulder, then it shows you where his mind is. So you get out of the conversation with him where his mind is. Because remember, a person can look very nice from the outside, but his mind is in a horrible place. Sometimes he doesn't look from the outside as Ben Torah, but his mind is in Torah. He may work, but his mind is 100% in Torah, and that's what he really likes. So this is just an example. Now let's give a few more examples. One more thing that is very, very dangerous for a girl is to marry a stingy bachur. What does it mean, stingy? Of course, it's relative, depends how much money he has and how much he doesn't, but assume that he has money to survive, you have to see how he behaves when it comes to money. When you see that a person count every penny, compare all the time prices, worry about how he can save here $2 and $3 and $5 and this and everything by him, or he takes it from the store and then returns it the next day. Everywhere his mind is, how can I save? You know that your life with this person will be below horrible. Why? You won't be able to buy anything. Everything you buy will destroy you. There will be arguments. Every Monday and Thursday you're gonna be by the rabbi, he's gonna complain that you're spending all his money and he works so hard. You're not gonna have a life with him. I see it all the time for couples who come to Shalom Bayit. Where does it come from? Stinginess comes from lack of emunah. Someone who knows Hashem gives, and he knows it's mitzvah to make your wife happy, to give her as much as you can afford, and not to worry about saving and all kinds of things. You have to make her happy, make the home healthy, and he's worried all the time about spending. What does it show? That he doesn't have any emunah in Hashem. Oh, but he finished the Shas. He knows the whole Gemara, he finished every Masechet. But look how he behaves. He has no emunah in Hashem. That's very dangerous. We can find people today that look like big rebbes, but they don't have even 1% emunah in Hashem. They constantly worry. They constantly paranoid. They have all the time anxiety attack. They have panic attack. They have lots of fear from the future. And it comes mainly, not only, but mainly it comes for no emunah in Hashem. You can be a big chacham, but you don't have emunah. You can be an ordinary person, you hardly know a lot of Torah, but you have very solid emunah. Sometimes you find a person who walks in a market selling vegetables, and you see that he has full emunah in Hashem. Whatever Hashem gives him, he spends, he's not worried about tomorrow. And sometimes you have a person that is already many years in yeshiva, and Baruch Hashem, he made a lot of money, but he's afraid to spend a penny. Always worry, always fighting about money. How come? The answer is, we see that just by learning Torah, it's not an indication of gaining emunah. Emunah, it's a different territory. You can be chacham, but you have no emunah. You can have a lot of emunah, but you're not a chacham. So don't take it for granted thinking everyone is a Talmid chacham. For sure he has emunah. The answer is wrong. He doesn't have emunah. I used to know a Talmid chacham that not once in the years that I was near him from time to time, not once gave $1 donation to all the collectors. They all come like this in the shul. I followed him for years. He did not give even $1 once. He was always pretending he doesn't have money, and he had millions of dollars. And he knew how to speak very well, and he knew how to shtay, and he didn't give him a penny. And one time a person came to him, a woman, she needed the $70 medicine. She was the wife of Avrech in a kollel, and he lives in a beautiful, very expensive mansion. And she came to him and she said that the doctor said she was pregnant. that if she's not going to get today this medicine, she's jeopardizing the safety of the baby, which means it's pikuach nefesh. And he has millions of dollars, this person, millions, many millions. So he sent her to another gvir in town. He did not even give her the $70. No wonder that his wife is the most miserable person on earth. And already many, many times she took the kids and tried to run away from him. Why? Every day next to this monster, it's Gehinnom. But you should see how he talk. What a charismatic speaker. That's nothing. Emuna, you have to work very, very hard to gain it, unless if you have it naturally. Some people, this is their nature. Since they're young, they have Emuna Pshuta in Hashem. That's not their challenge in life. You gotta be very careful. It's very difficult to live with a husband that does not have Emuna. You have to know that. Now, one more thing. Devotion. Devotion. What does it mean, devotion? It starts from what time he gets up in the morning. How he davens. How much he's willing to sacrifice for the truth. Does he live in a real life or he lives in a fake life? There is two kinds of frumkeit, real and fake. You don't want one of the fake world, because eventually you will find out that everything in your life is fake. It's going to influence you and your children, and will all be fake. Now let's talk a little bit about girls. Girls also have few things to check about themselves. One of the problems that we find in today's generation, that the money situation, the financial situation takes over and becomes the number one most important thing in Shiduchim, which is a very, very big mistake. Which means, before they agree to go on a date, they have to check what's gonna be their financial situation if they ended up marrying this guy. Who's to say in the Torah that that's how you check a Shiduch? Just because the person doesn't have right now money, or the beginning of your marriage won't be wealthy, is that a reason not to go on a Shiduch and to lose your Shiduch? What happened if he's your Shiduch? If he's your soulmate by Hashem, and then you turn him down because he doesn't have $1 million yet to offer you, is that a reason to lose your Shiduch? No wonder how many girls are staying single for the rest of their life in a frum world. Thousands right here, around here, almost in every block. You have many of them that single and they already got to very, very late age. And now the level of the shidduchim they offer them is a lot less than before. And eventually they say, you know what, better to stay single than to marry this kind of shidduchim. Why is it? One of the reasons is because people do not look in the right thing. Many times shidduchim are blown off between the families about money issues. That's foolish, that's stupidity. Money comes only from Hashem. You can marry a very wealthy guy, Hashem takes away all the money month after the marriage. Or the other way around, it's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Second of all, this is one more thing. When you about to marry a person, after you check if how much Torah he knows and what is midot, you check the family, you check all these things. What is the next thing that the girls complain about today? Let's ask you. What is the most concerning things in your mind when they will offer you a shidduch? What will be the first thing that will concern you on your mind that because of that you may turn down the shidduch? Besides financial, what else? What do you think? Not you necessarily. You, your friends, the society here. What are they getting very concerned about? Appearance. Now, when you say appearance, you mean the way he dress, or how clean he is, or how handsome he is? What are you talking about?
How he talks.
That's a positive concern. I'm talking concern that it's not real, that it's not good. Fake concern. What? Since you mentioned appearance, let's talk a minute or two about that. In previous generations, frum girls who grew up in a frum family all over the world, they were raised in a different way than today. First of all, there was no telecommunication like today. There was no phones, no cell phones, no internet. Women did not go to work in jobs that they go today. They did not work in hospitals and as nurses or secretaries in the office, and they come in with, you know, to see too many people. The way the life of the women used to be, as I told you, the ladies work very hard physically. They clean, they cook, and they sit together in the free times that they have. They sit in the neighborhood and speak. Either they speak positive things or gossip, one of the two. This is the way the life of a girl was. She sits in the neighborhood, like the grandmothers used to be. I remember when I was a kid, that's how it was. There was no media, there was barely a radio station. There was nothing really to do. So when the ladies finish, they all sit outside in the street with chairs, they eat a little bit, and all day they sit and talk between what they have to clean. That's how it used to be. Today it's a different world. Today the girls are more open-minded. They know about things that women did not know 30, 40 years ago. Therefore, it creates a new challenge that was not existing before. One of the things that it's a very big mistake is that when the shatchan or shatchanit, they set up a date between a girl and a guy, and the girl is not feeling attracted to this bachur, to this boy. His appearance is not appealing to her. She doesn't like the way he doesn't keep himself either clean or the way he dressed, or even the way he looks, or even his weight, or certain things about him, how aesthetic he is, how he takes care of himself. Obviously, he's not a woman, but even a man has to be presentable. So what happened? So they tell her, no, it's fine. You're gonna teach him. You're gonna teach him how to take care of himself. You're gonna do this and this and that. The problem is, maybe you will be able to teach him, maybe not. Sometimes people, it's their habit. I give you an example. There's one guy who got married. And after a period of time, they had a kid. And after that, the marriage problems began. Probably it was before, but the marriage problems began. It got to a point that the girl did not want to even stay with him one more day in a house. She had to go to her parents, or she moved out somewhere. So he started to get my advice, and while me investigating him to see why a girl that just got married a year ago would take her baby and run away from her husband. Now I know this person is not angry. He's a very, very nice human being. Real, real pure heart, not arrogant, not angry, not stingy, full of chesed, baal chesed, ish emet, mamash, wonderful human being. I'm breaking my head to understand what's going on. So I'm thinking to myself, there's two possibilities. One is that she was never attracted to him and someone forced her to get married, and now she's facing how bitter her life is and she couldn't take it anymore. So I started to investigate how the relationship used to be as soon as they got married. And it says in a really short period of time it was great, and after that it became bad. So right away I realized what happened here. So I told him, I have to ask you a few questions, please don't get upset, but it's very important. I told him, how many times a week you take a shower? He said, not every day. He said, every other day? He said, not always. So I said, okay, now I know what's going on. You are not watching your hygiene, you're not hygienic, you're not clean enough, your hair is oily, you're not clean and you smell and you're not brushing your teeth and your clothes are not in the laundry often enough. And she's suffering from it because it's very normal. Why? She wants a husband, she wants to be near him. You do, basically, not intentionally. Yeah, this is the way you got used to. So from the minute I started to drill in his head to start taking a shower minimum once a day and to make sure he always smell good and always clean and to take care of his skin and to make sure his hair never gonna be greasy and oily and da 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 da, and to watch his hair, his weight, to start losing weight because he started to become chubby, all of a sudden almost all the problems were gone. And this is a person that I wish to each one of you to have, to find a bachur with his midos. That's how great his midos are. Fantastic human being, clean heart, not deceiver, not a liar, very pure, always run to help, always call to ask if you need help. This is the kind of person you want. But all of a sudden, one thing can make it very bad. That's definitely something to be concerned about and to check very carefully how clean and the look of a person. Now, one more thing. Sometimes a girl say, it's a very nice guy, he knows a lot of Torah, he has great midos, but I'm not attracted to him as a man. I mean, I don't feel anything being with him. Fine, I mean, we date. So they tell her, how do you talk? You're a religious girl. You're not supposed to talk about these things. Those things come later. They'll come later. After the marriage, they will come later. Sometimes they come later, it's true. In today's generation, and I'm talking to you from 20 years of experience, most of the time, not only they don't come later, it becomes a lot worse later. Now you're gonna face two possibilities. One is that you just can't take it anymore. And that's why there are thousands of divorce cases in the film world today. And the other option is to suffer from now until the rest of your life. To live with a roommate. You don't have any feelings to him. Even if he's a nice person, remember, we're not talking about a monster here, we're talking a tzaddik. But physically, emotionally, you don't have any feelings for him. You never had. They brainwash you that he will come later, but he never came. And then what kind of life you have? You're basically a maid, you raise children, and you don't have a husband. You live with her, you know. It's not life. There's nothing wrong with a girl to love her husband and to have feelings to him, and that he would love her, and they will have wonderful connection because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it, and he made a part of marriage to have with love and feeling and everything else. And I don't want to go into details, but the Gemara, which is the foundation of Judaism, everything we know in Judaism comes from the Talmud, speaking in few pages, how big rabbis used to teach their girls to behave intimately with their future husband. No rabbi has the guts today to sit with his daughter and talk to her about intimate things that between a woman to a guy. Nobody has the guts to do it. But this is the holiest rabbis in history. They were teaching their girls because they did not want their girls to have a bad marriage. They wanted their marriage to be great, and that's why it's in the Talmud. Chas v'shalom, the Talmud doesn't want to bring things that are not modest for lack of immodesty. No, they bring it because it's critical to the life and to the health of the marriage between a woman to her husband, between a husband to his wife. The Gemara say that Abba Chilkiah was the grandson of Chonia Ma'agel. Chonia Ma'agel, we all know, when there was no rain, they used to come to him for rain. He used to speak to Hashem, and right away the rain came. One time there was no rain for a long, long time, and when in those days when there's no rain, people begin to die. The animals don't have what to eat. There's no grass, no leaves, no nothing to eat. So people starting to get panic. So they came to Chonia Ma'agel and he said to Hashem, I'm gonna make a circle here. I don't come out of it. I make a vow, a neder, that I won't come out of here until the rain comes. So few drops started to come. So they say to Choni, what are we gonna do with these few drops? We need a lot of rain, we didn't have rain. So he said, that's not what I meant, Hashem. I meant real rain. Pouring rain started to come until all the wells and all the pools, everything got flooded. So they say to him, hey, we're gonna die from this kind of water. It's gonna starting to create floods in the neighborhood. So he said to Hashem, also that kind of rain I didn't want. It's too much. This was the kind of relationship that he had with the creator of the world. Nobody in this world today has this kind of influence on Hashem, to speak to Hashem and immediately Hashem perform. You agree with that, right? You understand that there's no people like this. So the Gemara say he had a grandson that had more or less the same abilities, not as big as his grandfather, but also he could pray for rain and the rain would come shortly after. So the Gemara said that they sent to him two messengers from the Beit Din to speak to him, to pray to Hashem that he will send rain. And when they follow him to his house, his wife came out extremely beautiful. She put nice show for him, whatever makeup they had 2,000 years ago. The Gemara praises the fact that she came to welcome him out of the house to the street, I guess, and he came and they walked upstairs. So they ask him, the two rabbis, why your wife became so fancy and she comes outside to welcome you to the house when you come from work? So he answered that I will not start to look at other women. This is 2,000 years ago. This is a rabbi that can take a dead person and bring the soul back to his body. Not like the fake one today that pretend that they have all kinds of things. There's a real one that was speaking to Hashem in a minute or 5 minutes later, the rain begins. He said that if my wife would not take care of herself to be always pretty for me, it's gonna make me make averos by looking at women that are not mine. Do you understand what we're talking here about? I think it's clear enough to understand that a part of the woman's life is always to be pretty and attractive to her husband. Always. It's not a crime, it's not a sin, it's something that she must always do. It's not easy, because you always, you know, between giving birth and this and gaining weight and getting older. But we're speaking in realistically as much as is possible. I know that some of the girls were educated. That's only for empty people. That's only for losers. That's for wicked. That's for maybe Balei Tshuva. That's maybe for people that are not frum, really frum. They're too modern. For them, what I just say apply. But for us, we girls from Beis Yaakov, and this is a Hasidish boy or a Litvish boy from the best yeshiva, it doesn't apply to us because we are holy. The answer is, it applies to us just as much and sometimes even more than to those kind of people that I mentioned. Why? Because this is the human nature. If a person depresses his feelings and attractions and all kinds of things that go through his life, one day it explodes, either he does crazy things after, or chas v'shalom, he becomes very depressed and his life becomes very, very bad. So the Gemara say, lo nitnu nashim ela leyofi. One of the things that Hashem expects from a woman, to make her husband happy by the way she presents herself. That doesn't mean that she has permission ever, even 1 minute in her life, not to be modest. This is a problem of today's generation. If a woman decides to cover her hair with a wig instead of full cover, that's already a lower level of full cover. You have to know the truth and don't let anyone fool you that wigs is more modest than covering the hair. It's not true. However, since there's big rabbis in a generation that allows it, who am I to come and contradict them? I can't. But one thing I will tell you, and even those who are allowed the wigs, they never ever dream about the kind of wigs that women wear across the street here. They never dream that women will go that low. All these fancy long wigs, puffy, all kinds of hair, tons of perfume, high heels. Girls that got the best education, this is how you dress. Her father is a rebbe, and this is how she dressed. What's going on here? So please, don't ever fall into that trap. When they ask her, why do you have such a wig? I want to be pretty to my husband. What the Torah said, I have to be pretty for your husband, is with limitation, without violating the rules of Hashem. Not everything is permitted. Yeah, it may make your husband like you a little more if you're going to do certain things, but that doesn't mean it's permitted. It's based on fake, it's based on a sin, something that comes to the world from a sin, from a lie, from a violation of the rules of Hashem, from making a Kadosh Baruch Hu angry, will never have a blessing. Remember this. You may have right now an immediate benefit, fake. You may think it's good, it's working. Oh, I give my husband what he wants. No, 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 no. It's only now, because the way of the Satan is when a person makes a sin, in the beginning to make it very sweet. And then comes the horrible bitter taste. In the beginning it tastes very good, just like the gum, you know, sugar free. It's very, very delicious for 1 minute. And after that you have bad taste in your mouth for an hour. Why? This is the way the fake world is. One father wanted to teach his son the difference, what does it mean to make a sin? So he came to his son and said, son, what is the difference between a sin to freezing water? So the son doesn't understand where his father, what's the connection? Freezing water to a sin. So he said to his father, I have no idea what you're talking about. So his father says, come, I'll demonstrate it to you. So you took him to the freezing lake or river, whatever it was, and he threw him into the freezing water. Surprisingly, he wasn't ready, pushed him in. So the boy screamed, ooh, freezing. Then he pulled him out and he prepared a warm towel directly from the dryer, still warm. He covered him with a big towel. The boy is drying his body and say, ah, now it's Baruch Hashem, I'm not as freezing. So his father said to him, this is the difference between freezing water to the sin. That by freezing water, you first scream, ooh, and then you scream, ha. By the sin, you first scream, ha, and then you scream, ooh, for eternity. That's the difference. You got the point? One big rebbe. You got the point? So the point is that in the beginning, the Satan has to make the sin delicious. Therefore, don't ever be fooled by it. Modesty is modesty. The skirt has to be long enough, wide enough, not tight. The sleeves, the clothes. All this material that women, religious women, use today, that it's stretched and stick to the body, it's all illegal. It's a crime against Hashem. And not only that, it's a violation of the worst sin in the Torah for a girl. Why? It's called Machti Arabim. Influencing the public to make sins because the way she dressed. She's not modest, tons of makeup, puffy, flappy, very long wig, clothes that are too attached to the body, and then what happened? People on the streets make sins by looking, and she doesn't even know, and then millions of sins every month goes to her account. And she think, I'm the Rebbetzin from Beit Yaakov. I give drashes, I speak online, I do kiruv, I'm a balas chesed, I make in my house sheva brachos every week. She does a lot of great things. And one day she leaves this world, and Hashem shows her, you made 10 million mitzvot in your life. Wow, amazing. How did I make 10 million mitzvot in my life? What a great achievement. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will tell her, that was the good news. Now let's talk about the bad news. You made 10 trillion averot in your life. You make 10 million mitzvot. All the sheva brachos, all the chesed, all the cooking, all this, that, brachos, tefillah, tehillim reading, Shabbos, that's 10 million mitzvot. Now, 10 trillion averos. 10 trillion averos? How long did I live that I make 10 trillion averos? I don't remember doing more than one avera a day. What's going on? And it shows you how you walk in the street and how many people look and how many bad things are happening after, and it's a chain reaction multiplied by 30, 40, 50 years, and it accumulates to billions of averot. And a woman like this basically fell big time in her lifetime. For what? For the puffy long wig, or for the clothes that are almost modest, almost an inch shorter, 2 inches shorter, or too attached, and everything is gone. Modesty, it's not open for negotiation. It's not open for any compromising or anything like that. This is the most important thing to the life of a girl. But Israel, I remember many years ago, a woman that became Baala Tshuva, she have a lot of not modest clothes from the top designers in the world. Each garment was maybe $800, $900, $1,000, $500. Big bags, big, huge black bags like this, full of clothes. Maybe $20,000, $25,000 clothes. Once she became religious, she didn't know what to do with the clothes. So she wanted to sell them. So she asked a big Talmid Chacham, can I sell it to a Goya, to a non-Jewish woman? Goya. And he said, who told you that Hashem agreed that the Goya will wear clothes like this? What do you think? Everything that Zima Elohim Sone, the Torah is full of examples that Hashem punished the Goyim by the way they behave. Prostitution, lack of modesty, besides the idol worshiping, the way they behave, that Hashem punished them. So you see, why Hashem got angry at the Goyim? Because they're not modest. Because they have to be modest. So he said, even to the, give it to the Goyim in our love, to sell it to the Goyim. She said, can I give it for free? Also not. So what's the solution? She threw $25,000 clothes in the incinerator in a building in Manhattan. She opened the drawer, threw it, two big bags, $25,000 of clothes, and they grind it and burn it, and it went to the garbage. Why? With modesty, you don't compromise. And everybody knows that all the Talmidei Chachamim know one solid rule. What is it? You not allow to make Bnei Israel lose money. You're not allowed. If they come to you with a question, and there is one opinion in halacha that will help to save the money from throwing all the food now to the garbage, or for replacing whatever they have to replace, there is something to count on, you say, yesh lecha al ma lismoch. Don't throw it right away to the garbage, because that could be mitzvah ba be'avera. Eno mechalem amonam shel Israel. You don't have permission to say, not kosher. Right away, throw it to the garbage. No, no, no. You have to think a million times before. But over here, there's no question. Why? The price that a person would pay for not being modest is more than anything you can imagine. So remember now, there's one more thing to conclude here. The Gemara says that a person receives what he is. What does it mean? Mezavgim lo la'adam zivug lefi ma'asav. A person gets his shiduch, his soulmate, based on how he is. So the Gemara say, Tznu'a la tzaddik, prutza la rasha. Modest girl to the tzaddik, to the righteous boy, and prutza, immodest, to the wicked boy. Why he didn't say wicked girl to the wicked boy? Righteous girl to the righteous boy. Righteous and righteous. Wicked and wicked. Why? Modest, righteous, not modest, wicked. By the ladies, there's no righteous? No righteous, no wicked? By the ladies? The answer is absolutely. By a woman, what makes you righteous is your modesty. You're modest, you're righteous. You're not modest, you're not righteous. Even though you do a lot of nice things. Why? That's already the majority of your tikkun in life. Plus, it makes the marriage healthier. The Gemara is full of compliments to the ladies that receive beautiful, wonderful, holy, righteous kids for only one reason. Nobody spoke how great they kept Shabbos. Nobody spoke how great their chesed was. Nobody speak how beautiful they used to pray. Nobody spoke about how great their brachos used to be. Whenever the question in a Talmud rise, why did you get such holy, unbelievable, righteous kids? It was always connected to modesty. Why? Because the walls of her house never saw the hair of her head. She had seven boys, each one of them was a big Kohen Gadol. Nothing like this ever happened in history. If a woman get to have one boy that become a Kohen Gadol, meaning is the most important person in the universe. Do you know what a pride it is that you are the mother of the most important tzaddik in the universe? Imagine it happens to you seven times in a row. Again and again, 2 years later, 5 years later, 3 years later, every one of your boys become the most important tzaddik in the world. Can be coincidence. So Gemara said, the Chachamim went to investigate what happened here. Her name was Kimchit. They asked her, how did you achieve such a thing? She said, I was extremely modest. She was more modest what the halacha requires. Much more. She was modest even in front of raw material, in front of walls, in front of things that you can be not modest in a closed room, but she was so machmir in it that Hashem saw how she cared about this, and he gave her the biggest blessing a person can dream about. And the Gemara say, a woman that covered her hair very modestly, she has banim talmide chachamim. There's a lot of examples. Plus, the girls would learn from you how to dress, how to behave, what kind of week to have one day. Plus, is the blessing of the marriage. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu see that people are not modest, it ruins the blessing in the house. It ruins the holiness. I give you an example. There's one girl. She's, if you ask a man, write on a piece of paper all the things you want your wife to have. Everything. So you would write, I want her to be extremely righteous. Good. I want her to be extremely perfect midos. Good. Got it. I want her to be extremely smart. Good. I want her to be extremely pretty. Good. I want her to be extremely from a good house. Beautiful, wonderful house. Good. I want her to be a great davener and connected to Hashem. Good. What else a man would ask by a girl? Is there anything I forgot? I want her to be extremely modest. Good. I want her to come to daven in a netz minyan. 5 o'clock, to show how much she loves Hashem. Good. I know a girl like this. She went on a date with Yeshiva Bachur. Yeshiva Bachur that deserved 2 smacks in his face. That's what he deserves. Yeshiva Bachur. Oy le Yeshiva Bachur kaze that deserve, that have the nerve to call himself Yeshiva Bachur. He went on a date with her. Ah, and again, listen, everything I said to you, I'm not exaggerating. Pretty, very. Family, great. Modesty, extremely great. Very smart, very gentle, very classy. Oh, and I forgot, from a very rich family also. Very, very rich family. So, I mean, he couldn't ask for better. I mean, if he would dream in a million years, how are you going to find a girl? Do you know why he did not want to marry her? Guess why? You'll never guess in a million years. Why he turned the shidduch down, this fool? Why? Huh? No, give me one guess. What's the worst thing you can think? The most stupid thing you can come up with? Give me, no, I want to hear what's your opinions. What would, when you hear it, you would never believe that it's possible. She refused to walk with high heels. She told him, I'm never going to wear high heels like this. It's not modest. She said, I want my wife to wear high heels when we go to places. She said, no, I will never wear it. Based on that, he broke the shidduch. Do you believe such a thing? Baruch Hashem, she got very lucky. Hashem saved her from that fool. And he gave her a wonderful yeshiva bachur, down to earth, fantastic. Very nice, charismatic, sweet, shy, great midot. Great guy, like she deserved to get. Now imagine in 10, 20 years from now, the fool that turned her down, who knows what kind of girl he's gonna get with their high heels and what's gonna happen in their shalom bayit. And what's gonna happen in the end, 20 years later, when he's gonna see his rotten family and he's gonna see her family, what do you think he's gonna say? What a mistake I made in my life. Now I know you may thinking that I'm overreacting or exaggerating, but I promise you that women that walk with those high heels and with tight skirt and short to the knee, barely passing the knee, and goes like this in the weddings, they will never have banim tzadikim talmidei chachamim. Never. And the girls will never be modest. Why? That's the worst example you can give. You can give beautiful speeches. You can send them to the best yeshivot. You can speak to your girls non-stop about modesty. She sees the way you dress when you go to the wedding, you're gone. My mother is fake. It's all fake. Giving me beautiful speeches. Look how she dressed. And that's reality. And if you disagree, please tell me now. Why not? Why not? Challenge. Everything I say makes sense to you or no? Don't be embarrassed. Who disagree with one word of what I say? Please tell me why. Maybe I'm wrong. Let's hear. Everyone agree? But there's only one problem. You all agree, but I'm almost sure not all of you will follow what we just say. So how come? So the answer is, you want a good guy, make sure you are good. Make sure you're really modest, make sure you really pray. And one last recommendation for today, nothing good in life comes from Hashem easy. That's the rule in a creation. The Gemara says three things HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the nation of Israel. Shalosh matanot natan HaKadosh Baruch Hu le'am Israel ושלושתם לא נתנן אלא על ידי איסורים. Three gifts Hashem gave to the Jewish nation, and all three he gave through suffering. One, Eretz Israel. You want to make Aliyah, torture begins. Bureaucracy, problem, changing mentality, the apartments are much smaller, Parnassa is much harder, politics, things, all kinds of things, you go crazy. Wow, changing the language, getting used to what's happening, rockets falling on your head. Look what's happening. So what happened? Eretz Yisrael niknet b'isurim. You want to get the level of the Holy Land? It won't come as a picnic, even if you take $100 million with you. You can buy anything you want, you're still gonna have isurim. It's never gonna come easy. What else? Torah. To become Talmid Chacham, you cannot sit with a cigar in a leather couch and learn like you're in a library and think that you're going to be Talmid Chacham. No. 48 conditions to become Talmid Chacham. 48 conditions. Pat Bamelach Tochal. Listen to my Pirkei Avot series. I'm talking about all of them. You have to be ready to eat whatever they serve you, to drink whatever they give you, whatever bed they give you. Never complain. I came to this world to give my life to gain Torah. It has to come only on Yedei Yisurim. It can never ever come easily. So now I want to ask you a question. If you want to get a Talmid Chacham or a Baal Midos, or a guy that you would like very much, his personality, because also sometimes he can be a tzaddik, but he's mute. He doesn't know how to behave with a girl. He's a very big tzaddik, but he doesn't know how to be a husband. You want to marry Moshe Rabbeinu, but you have to also have a husband. It's not enough just to have a tzaddik sitting in the corner of the house all day. You have to have a husband. Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul was the biggest chacham and tzaddik in the world, and he used to sit in the kitchen and peel okra and speak to his wife while she's cooking, preparing for Shabbat, even though he's the biggest Talmid Chacham in the world. Why? Because he knew what does it mean to be a husband, to do things with your wife. You go grab something in a restaurant once a week, you sit, you talk, Erev Shabbos, once in a while you take a trip together. It has to be somebody that, Baruch Hashem, he's such a tzaddik, it doesn't matter, I don't need a husband. This was in the time of Rabbi Akiva. That his wife told him, yeah, go 12 years, I'll manage. That's a different level, we're not in this level. Today, a girl needs a husband. And if she called and she said, I don't feel good, can you come today from yeshiva? He must go. And Seder Shlishi, first year, he doesn't go. Finish yeshiva at 7, the rabbi has to send him home, not to tell him, it's okay, your wife tzadeket. She's gonna be alone until 10:30. No. And the first year is not allowed to bring guests, only if she asks. But my parents, they're coming to America, they don't have where to stay. Either they find another place or they don't come at all. Why? You have to establish the marriage. It's first year. How do you get such a guy? Only one way. With broken heart and very devoted tefillah, with tears. Don't take it for granted that Hashem get your shiduch and serve it to you on a gold platter. Even if you have this shiduch, even if Hashem announced that this boy is yours, you have to scream and to cry to Hashem with a broken heart. Otherwise, you get somebody else, maybe his brother, but it's not the same. Why? The Gemara say, we make engagement in Chol HaMoed. Why you mix one party with the other? There's already chag. Don't mix one with the other, two different occasions. The answer is, Shema yavo acher veyakdimenu bitfila, which means Sarah is scheduled to marry Reuven after Yom Tov, after Chol HaMoed. That's it, it's a done deal in Shamayim. It was announced in Rosh Hashanah. But there is Yitzchak who wants this Sarah, the tzaddeket of the town, for himself. And he cries to Hashem with a broken heart every day. Hashem didn't want to give her to him. Maybe he's not 100% in level. Maybe this guy Reuven is much higher level. But he's broken heart for months already. What happened? If he won't marry her quickly, I mean engage to her quickly in Chol HaMoed, after Chol HaMoed, with the prayers of the broken heart and the tears of the other person, he may lose her. You understand? This is Gemara. Shema yakdimenu acher berachamim. Rachamim means tfila. So if it works for the boy, definitely works for the girls just as much. Don't take it for granted. You begin to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I should have told you that 2-3 years ago. Better late than never. With a broken heart, 100%. So remember, there are three levels. Happily married, there's not that many people in the world, unfortunately. Bitterly married, there's plenty. And there's bitterly single. There's no happily single. There's only bitterly single. If chas v'shalom, a person has to choose between the two, to be bitterly single or bitterly married, which one is worse? Bitterly married is worse. Why? At least when you're bitterly single, you have privacy. You don't have to suffer with someone you hate. Now, when you live in the same place, in a box with someone, like putting you in a cage with someone, you cannot get rid of him. And now you have to suffer for the next 30 years. Very depressing. So if we do it, let's do it right. Please ask me some questions if you have about what we spoke, about what we didn't speak before we finish. Any questions or are you all in deep shock? Yes, anyone? No. They're always so quiet or only today? They're always quiet? Okay, thank you for saving the situation. Go ahead. No, I didn't say that. I say you should daven for what you want in your man to be. I want Talmid Chacham, I want Tzaddik, I want Baal Midos, I want. That's it. Now, it's not good to daven for a specific person, because if he's not your shiduch, that's going to be very bad. Hashem said, I gave you what you wanted. What do you want? You ask, you got it. But you ask for the wrong thing. So you have to pray for if you want somebody specific. Let's say you know this Bachor is available. So you pray to Hashem, Hashem, I want this guy Yitzchak or Avram or Yosef, only if he's going to be good for me. You can say specific. Why? It could be five different options and they're all good for you. And Hashem wants to give you option two. But you don't want so much two, you want four. So you can say to Hashem, if this option, option four, is good for me, please make me able to get him only if he's good for me. Chas v'shalom, I'm going to have a horrible marriage with him. Of course I don't want. And even if Hashem already knows it, and you think, why do I have to tell Hashem what I want? He knows the best what's good for me. It's wrong. Hashem made the world that even what it's ours, we still have to pray for it. Nothing comes, don't take anything for granted. It could be yours, but you neglect to beg Hashem for it, and you lost it. That's why you have to do it, and you have to do it not only just to pray, like you read the newspaper. You have to pray with a broken heart. Usually women, when they want to cry, they press a button, and the tears come. For the men, it's harder to cry. But even a man has to cry. Sha'are dima lo ninalu. The only gate that is going express to Hashem with no obstacle is when a person has a broken heart, lev nishbar venitke, elokim lo tifze. And sha'are dima lo ninalu. Try it a month from now, and then you call me and tell me if I was right or wrong. Yes?
Is there such a thing as a bashar, like this one person for one?
The Gemara says, in Masechet Sota, page 2, the Gemara says, two things that contradict each other. And then, of course, the Gemara explained the contradiction. Once the Gemara say, before a baby is born, it was already announced who's gonna be his girl. Bat Ploni leben Ploni. And right after that, few lines down in the same page, Amar Ish Lakish, Mezavgim lo la'adam zivug lefi ma'asav. You get a person according to who you are. You in level B, Hashem send you someone from that level. You in level D, you get D. You in level Z, you get Z. That more or less to match. Which one of the two is correct? The Gemara say, Ha bezivug rishon, ha bezivug sheni. This one is in a first soulmate, first match, and this when it's announced, it's the first match, and second is from then on, second match, third match, and so forth and so on. There's a few ways to explain this Gemara. It's not so simple, a little complicated. One of the explanation means that every person has an announcement what will be the best bashert for you, the best shiduch. So they say, Sarah, daughter of Yitzchak, to Reuven, daughter of son of Yosef. That's the bashert. However, if one of these two messing up, is not tzaddik enough, slowly glowing off the derech, doesn't work on his yirat shamayim, or she doesn't work on her modesty, there's X amount of time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting. Once one of the two messed up their condition, well, we have free choice. Hashem doesn't interfere with our free choice. Hashem throw the original plan out of the picture, and from that moment, he will find you somebody new to replace your bashert according to who you are. So he's bringing you a replacement to the one that was supposed to be yours but messed up with his choices. That's one very logical explanation. The other explanation, according to Kabbalah, comes from the Ari HaKadosh. The Ari HaKadosh says that when Hashem made the world, there was people, right? The first generation. So he had to put them together. There's females and there's male. And he has to match them. And they're on the first time in the world, they were not here before in the reincarnation. First time. So since first time, everybody came with a clean soul. There's no sins from previous life. None of these things. So Hashem announced everything in the first time. And he put the first couples together, and that's it. After that, people died and they're reborn, the soul being reincarnated in a new body. We all here, not for the first time, we were here in different bodies before, as you can see in my DVD, Life After Death there. So when we come to the world, second, third, fourth, fifth, etc., over here now, it's only based on who we are. Why? Because we didn't come to the world zero, like in the first time. Now we have positive, negative from previous life. So Hashem has to match someone to our level, to our tikkun. Either way, one way or the other, today you only get married to someone that is based on your behaving and your level. If it was your basher and he also in your level, then that's what you're gonna get. If not, no big deal. Hashem puts him away and he brings a different guy that deserves to have you. So one way or the other, what will determine what kind of a guy you'll have? What you are. That's why now it's time to begin to sweat and to work very hard to improve the midos, to improve the anger, to improve the ego, to bring it down to zero, to work on your modesty, to work on your generosity, to work on your chesed, to work on your integrity, and the most important thing, to work on your emunah and devotion and dveikut to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Any more questions before we finish? So, thank you very much. Yeah, one more question. A little bit louder. Is davening? Yes. Davening is ishtadlus. If a person is a very high level of confidence in Hashem and Emuna, very high level, then he doesn't have to do a lot of ishtadlus. Very, very little. He doesn't have to run to shadchanim, to go crazy. He makes a little ishtadlus, 1, 2, 3, a few hours, and that's it. Most of the people today are far away from being in a very high level of Emuna. If you want to know if you're in a high level of faith, high level of emunah, you have to test yourself. What does it mean? When it comes to money issues, are you worried about the future at all or not? If you worry what's gonna be, what house I'm gonna have, how I'm gonna pay the bills, how I'm gonna send kids to yeshiva, how I'm gonna pay for this, how I'm gonna pay for my studies, how, all the times worry, you're far away from having emunah. That's why you have to do a lot of ishtadlus to get your shidduch. Right? Because Hashem behave with you the way you behave with him. You don't count on me, you don't trust me, you always worry, you always fear the future. You will have to sweat for your shidduch. However, if you're in a very, very high level, you never worry about the future, not about money, not about the children, nothing. Right? You know whatever Hashem will give you, you only work on yourself, and that's it, you're not worried. There's no such thing by you to worry. Somebody owe you money, you don't make a big deal. You don't threaten, you don't call, you don't go into fight with them. You live with full emunah in Hashem, therefore, at the same thing, you don't have to work so hard to get your shidduch. Everything measure for measure. There was one American guy, he made Aliyah to Tzfat. He learned in yeshiva for Baalei Tshuva in Tzfat for a few years. And after a few years, he was talented, so he felt that the level of the yeshiva is not anymore high enough for him. So he decided to lock himself in a room, in an apartment over there, and to learn all the time without seeing people. He wanted to be isolated like Rabbi Akiva in the cave, like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in the cave. For 13 years. That's what he wanted to do. So he asked one of the guys from the yeshiva, every week you bring me groceries, I'll give you money. And you just bring me some, you know, bread, cheese, whatever I need to survive. And I don't want to do anything. I don't want to mess with people here. I don't want to mix. I want to be only with me and my Gemara and my things. And I want to learn until I finish Shulchan Aruch. So his friend said to him, okay, let me be a part of the mitzvah. I'll serve you. One day the delivery boy, his friend, he asked him, tell me, but what about shidduch? You're already 26, you're never gonna meet a girl. What? If you're stuck here in a room, how are you gonna get married? It's mitzvah to get married and have children. So he said to him, every day when I pray with a broken heart, I beg Hashem that when the time for me would come to get married, he will send me my shidduch to the door here and she will knock on the door. So his friend told him, keep dreaming, my friend. You really believe that Hashem will send you the girl all the way to this apartment? How the girl would even know you here? So he said to him, Ipale me Hashem davar. There's anything Hashem cannot do? I do my ishtadlut. What's my ishtadlut? Fila. I pray. After 3 years that I was in the room, long time, 3 years, one day, somebody knocks on the door. First time, it wasn't the day that the guy brings delivery. He opens the door, see a beautiful girl, very modest, standing over there. Excuse me, I'm looking for Mishpachat Ochayon. He says, it's not here, it's right there, the other side of the hallway. She said, okay, I'm sorry. So he said to her, excuse me, can I tell you something? So she said, yeah. He said, I'm in this room already 3 years. I used to learn 3 years downstairs in yeshiva here. And since then, see all my books, I'm here 3 years, I don't leave the room. Somebody bring me grocery once a week, and I'm staying, Baruch Hashem, I learn lots of Torah in these 3 years. Every day I pray to Hashem, and I say to Hashem, I'm begging you, when the time for me would come to get married, I want you to make the girl knock on my door. 3 years I'm begging Hashem with tears, 3 years, and nobody knock on the door. I just want you to know that after 3 years, the first girl that knock on my door was you. That's it. Have a nice day. She looks at it like she's shy, telling me now this, reading me the Megillah. The next day, who is on the door? Huh? The girl cannot come back. It's not Sanua. So she sent the Shatchan. Shatchan opens the door. Yes, can I help you? And say, yes, remember the girl who knocked on your door yesterday by mistake? She actually liked you, and she was very impressed by the story, and she wanted to date you, and maybe it will work out. And Baruch Hashem, they're happily married. So if you're in the level of this bachur, you don't have to do a lot besides praying. If not, you better start doing shtadlut and run to shatchanim and speak to your aunts and to your cousins and to all your friends and to go to all kinds of events that you may find your basher. Yeah? Why? It depends on who we are. Remember, same thing in Parnassa. You have emunah, you don't have to kill yourself. You only trust Hashem and He'll give you everything you need. You don't trust so much, you're going to have to sweat a lot. That's life. That's how Hashem made the world. The more you count on me, the more I will help you. The more you count on people, the more people will have to help you. You choose. Any more questions? Very good. I'm happy. I hope this lecture would benefit you in the future. Thank you very much. We'll see you again.